Hello, and welcome. I'm your one and only host, Mod Dragon. I hope everybody is having a great afternoon here on this Friday. Of course, for Frequency Friday. We are here. We are now live. We are adapting to a new format. Digital. We are now digital. You can play back this episode if you'd like. I don't know why, but go for it. Yeah, we're no longer live. We don't have a co-host, the one and only Doran. He's, you know, we're social distancing, of course, so no co-host for any time. Till further notice, of course. So, yeah. Yes, we've missed out on a couple albums. We've missed out on a couple tracks. Missed out on a lot. You know, we've been trying to get adjusted to this new system. So, let's get right into it. First up, this week, actually, I'm kind of glad, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of glad we are low on music. This quarantine time will allow artists to get to work on a lot of music. I do got to say that. However, this week, we've kind of taken a break. Only big names that have come out is New Toronto 3 by Tory Lanez, which is not even an album, it's more of a mixtape. So, that's about it, to be honest with you. 2K Baby came out, Pregame Rituals. Not gonna talk about it. This is not a big of an album, not a big as a release, and not as interesting to me, to my ear. However, we did miss out on a lot. We missed out on a lot, I do gotta say. Yives Tumor, I don't know how to say their name quite properly. Yives Tumor, Heaven to a Tortured Mind. Very interesting listening. Very R&B-esque alternative. It's very, very experimental, let me tell you. Very, very experimental. Then we have Thundercat with It Is What It Is. very, very funny title. Thundercat has always been outlandish. Yet he's very down to earth when it comes to his music. He comes off very organic. That's what I like about Thundercat. He's such an organic dude, and just by listening to his music, I can tell he's such a cool dude to hang out with. Very funny, too. Very funny guy, of course. Then we have the one and only After Hours by The Weeknd. I think we went over this on the last episode we had. No, we didn't, because it came out during our spring break. So, we're going to talk about After Hours. J Balvin Colores, he dropped that. I did talk about that on my last show on air, so we don't really need to dive into that. Also, Dua Lipa, as some of you might know who do listen, Dua Lipa is actually one of my favorite pop stars at the moment. She dropped Future Nostalgia, so we're going to dig into that, of course. We also have J Electronica, A Written Testimony, a thought-provoking rap album that left me underwhelmed, I do got to say. We'll get into that, of course. Then we have Childish Gambino with 3:15:20. A surprise album from the one and only. I thought, you know, my dear child, I think. I need to go back and refresh my memory. But I think that was his last album. Awaken My Love. I thought that was his last album because he did say it was going to be his last album. But surprise drop from Childish Gambino, of course. Then we have Party Mobile. Party Next Door. He didn't quite, you know, stay true to his promise. He said by the end of February we were gonna get it. Then he pushed it back to March 13th, I think. Yeah, one of these weekends in March. So, with that being said, let's talk about this week, right? So this week, Tory Lanez dropped New Toronto 3. Let me tell you, the New Toronto series, in my opinion, has been one of his weakest mixtape runs, I do gotta say so. Let me tell you why. Even his other mixtape series, like the Chicks Tapes, they bring in a lot more people. I don't know why. They just do, in essence. His last album, actually, his last studio album was Love Me Now, I believe, back in 2018, right? Ever since, he's only been dropping mixtapes, which to me is kind of fascinating yet weird. Yet I understand why he's doing so. He's a very savvy kind of individual. He knows his way around the industry, and he knows how to put out music the way he wants to and how to make full profit out of it. So, I don't blame Tory Lanez for putting everything out as a mixtape. It makes sense from a business standpoint. However, it does kind of hurt him because his, you know, his quote-unquote, his catalog of albums is quite short compared to his catalog of mixtapes. And it's given me the impression that he wants to be considered more as a mixtape artist rather than an album artist. So, hey, to each his own, I guess. Anyways, this album is quite short. Yeah, it feels kind of, it drags kind of long, I'm going to say. It's 44 minutes. Yeah, I thought I was listening to an hour to an hour and a half plus album. It's just kind of repetitive at some point. Yes, he goes into his, you know, more of his, what would they used to call it? More of his dance hall kind of vibes. And then he goes into his rap vibes. And then he goes into his R&B, singish, kind of pop-ish vibes. Which I think that is Tory Lanez's bag, in my opinion. I think that's when he kind of blows up himself. You know, that's when he has shows the most promise as an artist. So, with that being said, I'm not really big into Tory Lanez's music as some might be. So, for me, it's kind of hard to judge this. It sounds like something I've heard out of Tory Lanez before. Nothing game-changing. Just, you know, keeping the fans happy, I guess. So, for that, I would just give it a solid 6 out of 10. So, yeah, that does it for New Toronto 3. Now, let's get quickly to what came out. Boiler Room, a YouTube channel that I actually follow, they put out, like, these albums / compilation tapes of their DJ performances. So, the Boiler Room, what they do is they kind of record sessions where, you know, DJs go out to clubs and, you know, play their sets, you know, their music, their catalog, pretty much. So, Boiler Room wasn't really that involved in putting out music more, you know, just audio. It was more visual kind of aspect when it came to Boiler Room. They kind of like to get the kind of the scope of the room, the vibe of the room when, you know, the certain songs came on, which was neat, right? But, you know, in this time, they're kind of putting out their old performances in audio form only. So it's kind of interesting. I don't really recognize anybody here. We have Boiler Room, Black Madonna, Streaming from Isolation. Then we have the Helen Huff, Boiler Room. Then we have Sippin' Tees, you know. Yeah, from the Boiler Room. And that kind of took over the new music kind of catalog. So that's why I'm saying it's a very slow week, because a lot of the stuff have been pre-recorded. Not to say that music comes out live, right, every Friday. However, this came out way, way back, and they're just now putting it out in a very audio form. Anybody else that came out this week? To any of the Hispanic fans, Latino fans of Fuerza Regida, one of the biggest corrido groups coming out of, you know, the SoCal area, Texas, Arizona. Very, I don't want to call it like Selena's genre, the Tejano. It's more, they make really authentic Mexican music. However, most of the guys are from the United States. They grow up in a very Latin, Hispanic, Mexican, especially Mexican environment. So, but they've been killing it, man. Their music is great. Personally, I'm a fan of them. That's why I'm mentioning them. Album's called Adicto. It's 11 songs, 28 minutes. It's a little mixtape, but you know, something is something in this time, right? So, that does it for this week. Like I said, nothing really big or really, nothing really caught my ear for me to say, hey, this is the sleeper of the week. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's a very slow week. People are, you know, I understand why people are not putting out music. And I understand why people are putting out music, you know? There's two sides to this. So, why don't we jump back to, you know, previous weeks. Now, let's jump back to last week and the few weeks prior that we missed on music. First, we gotta cover the big ones. the weekend, After Hours. After Hours for me, in simple terms, has to be a sequel to Starboy. I do gotta say so. Starboy was a really, really good album. In my opinion, Starboy is a little bit better than After Hours. Just by the simple fact that it felt more objective. Starboy. Starboy was meant to be a very pop album. By all definition. Very, very poppy album. Yet, After Hours seems more of a experimental yet retro kind of pop album. If I can explain myself. Because all of the singles, the lead singles mostly, have been very 80s inspired. 80s synths, 80s bass lines. And, you know, you can tell a lot of 80s influence went into this album. So, After Hours does that very, very well. However, Starboy did more electric, funk, you know, neo-soul in just the right way. It was poppy, yet it was R&B-ish, and it was also hip-hop, you know? Starboy, for me, was a lot better, in my opinion. Of course, my opinion. After Hours, I feel, is a great continuation to that because he takes more of his poppy sounds from Starboy and you know, kind of gives it a retro look and gives it a more, you know, twist. Yeah, he gives it more of a twist, in essence, which sound great. I love all the music from After Hours. But then he gets into his bag a couple times. And that's when I appreciate The Weeknd the most. Singles like Too Late, Scared to Live, Escape from LA, you know, Save Your Trauma, and then Until I Bleed Out. I kind of miss that R&B, dark, melodic Weeknd. Yet it feels like every album he's pushing that away from himself. And yet he's alienated. Like, songs like Die For You, yes, they're a little dark and melancholic, yet they sound poppy and, you know, we can sing along to. In After Hours, these singles, you gotta listen to them. He kind of goes into his bag really good, yet they don't blend in with the rest of the theme of the album, if I'm making myself clear. Yes, an album can be diverse. However, The Weeknd did kind of, you know, with the lead singles, kind of give us hopes for something very, very experimental, yet it's back to the same form. So that's why I'd like to say this is a continuation of Starboy. Yet, the reason why I don't like this as much as I did Starboy is because Starboy kind of had the pacing, the theme, the outlook right. After Hours didn't sound like how After Hours wanted to sound, if I'm making myself clear. So, with that being said, I'm not saying After Hours is a bad album. Instead, no, it's great. All the singles here are great. Favorite track, like I said, has to be Too Late. Don't know why. I like that, like, dance hall vibe. I know some people don't like it. Certainly my co-host didn't like it at all. But me, I personally like Too Late a lot. I think it's going to be my favorite single from the album. Sleeper, in my opinion, compared to everybody's, you know, other favorite singles like Snow Child. I understand Snow Child, kind of a run back into his memories of him growing up where he was. But, you know, at the end of the day, Too Late is one of my favorite tracks from The Weeknd out of this album. So, rating-wise, like I said, I like Starboy better. In my head, when I look back at Starboy, I definitely give it an 8 out of 10. After Hours, I will also give an 8 out of 10. But I just like more singles from Starboy than I do from After Hours. And it doesn't, you know, diminish the quality, the value, and the great music that The Weeknd has put out. So with that being said, 8, solid 8 for me. Now, moving on, we have Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa for me has been interesting ever since the summer 2016 to summer 2017. She's been really consistent with putting out great, great pop music. Very, you know, get you out of where you are and just get you grooving, get you in a vibe. I love the collabs she did with Calvin Harris. I think they helped out a lot to get her in a very good stance in relation to what her music was going to be in the future. And it kind of shows off well because Future Nostalgia, unlike Harry Styles, who put out an album who, you know, he wanted to make sound like 70s-esque rock, you know, he said, oh no, this is inspired by, you know, Britain's great 70s rock and, you know, 80s rock and roll stars. But I think Dua Lipa Dust is a little better, in my opinion. Because she not only brings back kind of those sounds, those synths, those bass lines, but she does them well. And she does them in a manner that get you in a vibe, get you to, you know, to dance, in essence. That's what her goal is. And her lyrics are well thought out. Her lyrics, you know, have always been very, you know, getting over heartbreak, getting over boys, and being independent, being a strong woman. That's cool. It's 11 songs, 37 minutes long, and yeah, nothing but good music here. I do enjoy her voice a lot. It does help. It sounds kind of, you know, very, very strong. Yet at the same time, she makes sure it cuts through, which is great when it comes to, you know, lead feminine vocals. Like I said, her lyrics are very, very good. No complaints anywhere there. They are what they are, and she just kills it, man. She just kills it. So, and she has seen a lot of success on the platform that, as of lately, has made artists kind of make it or break it when it comes to singles. If it's popping on TikTok, it's gonna pop everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she's managed to do that. I think she has three good singles that have been trending on TikTok. There are dances for it. It's crazy. Just like Doja Cat. But we're not on her. We're on Dua Lipa. Overall, this album's fun. It's a fun album. It's a fun listen through. Plays on your radio. You're going to hear it on the radio. You're going to hear it everywhere. Super, super happy for her. As I said before, she's one of my favorite pop stars at the moment. And she just seems very down to earth as an artist, as a person, and very cool. So, with that being said, I like her music, I like her message, putting out solid pop projects, that have, you know, caused shockwaves, or not in some others' ears, you know what I'm saying? So, with that being said, I'll give this a solid 8 out of 10. I think I like her last project a little better. Maybe just because for her, it was her first of all. This is more of her sophomore album, but this one sounds more polished. And her last album, I kind of liked it a little better. I don't know. Maybe because it was more acoustic, very, you know, hey guys, I'm here kind of esque vibes. But then, you know, her lead single, of course, was very strong, and that's what got her going. So yeah, great stuff from Dua Lipa, for sure. Now, moving on, we have Thundercat. Thundercat is a weird artist. And I don't mean this in a bad way. He is weird in such a good way. Let me tell you why. Thundercat has managed to make some of the jazziest, some of the most soulful R&B music from our generation, of course. He's pretty young. He's a pretty young dude. I think he's in the upper 20s or mid 20s, I say 26, around 24, 25, 26 kind of age. Yeah, he puts out such good R&B and soulful music, and he presents it in a way that us, the younger generation, can listen to, and it's very, very fun. I like Thundercat. I think he's had a very, very iconic album with Drunk. I listened back to this in 2018 because I didn't know it came out in 2017. I'm fairly new when it comes to listening to Thundercat as an artist. But so far, I've liked what I've heard. Drunk is very, very good. I would like to say it's kind of a classic in our generation when you put him next to greats such as, you know, Tyler, the Creator. When you put him in that kind of West Coast renaissance of R&B and soul that's been going on as of late, I do gotta say so. So, Thundercat put out this great, great album. It is what it is, you know what I'm saying? And it's such a fun listen through. Of course, standout single has to be Dragon Ball Durag. Boy, is that single just, man, it's so melodic. It's something to sleep with, man. That single just puts you to sleep. It's It's jazzy, it's soulful, and, you know, it's a beautiful song, man. It's such a cool song, I'm not gonna lie. It just puts you in a mood, like, you know, relaxing, a relaxive mood, right? So, and that's kind of what he does throughout this album. Drunk was very experimental when it comes to its jazz sounds. Sometimes you'll get the fast tempo kind of jazz with him singing over, which sounds great. But this, you don't get that as much. You get more slowed down. I do gotta say the average beat per minute here is much lower than it was in Drunk. And I kind of appreciate that, but it also brings them down in form of creativity, because Drunk was great because of its creativity, right? This is still creative. Highly creative, you know, up there. But it's not as much as Drunk. Maybe because he's trying to appeal to a bigger audience and hook more people, you know? Sometimes when you're too experimental, you tend to lose some people because they're like, well, that's too weird. For example, Death Grips. Death Grips, in my opinion, are great, phenomenal. However, some people listen to it and they're scared. They're like, what is that? But Thundercat here did that with Drunk, right? However, I think that with this album, he can bring back a lot of fans. Not bring back, but most certainly bring in new fans. For sure. So, I'm diving too deep into his impact. Now, let's talk about the music itself. Like I said, it's very calming, relaxing, jazzy, soulful R&B music. And it's 37 minutes long. Yeah, it's long in a good way. Feels like you've listened to more time than, you know, other releases. For example, that Tory Lanez album, mixtape, sorry, I said earlier, it carried on too long, but it was short in actual time. It's much more fun to listen to this than it is to New Toronto 3, in my opinion, of course. And that's great, because Thundercat, you don't get a lot of music. His lead single was, you know, even Dragon Ball Durag is 2 minutes and 16 seconds, which I gotta say is one of his longest songs, I think. Most songs from Thundercat are average of 2.5 minutes to a minute and a half. That's his kind of range. He doesn't go over 3 minutes for sure. And when he does, it's because he probably has a feature, or because it's more of a interlude, it's more of a, you know, intro, it's more of an outro kind of track. You know what I'm saying? So, that's Thundercat, in essence. And that's why I say he's weird in a good way, because he does things the right way that we are like, hey, I remember when things were like this. I remember when not all songs were 3 minutes long. I remember, you know, he does it short. And he does the album format quite well, I gotta say. So, with that being said, I give this album a solid 8.5 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10 to be exact, if you don't like fractions. So that does it for Thundercat. Let's move on to another album, Childish Gambino with 3:15:20. Now, this one caught me by surprise as well. I listened to this a week after it had come out, so I wasn't really on top of things. Again, I kind of was unsure what to do with, you know, Frequency Friday as a show. And, you know, I was, you know, everything was in disarray, to be honest with you. We weren't adapted to the new way things were going to be. So I missed out on music. I missed out on a lot of things. But when I got back and listened to this, I'm like, He did something. Somebody did this. And, of course, it had to be Childish Gambino, right? He managed to make a 21 Savage feature sound very soulful. And I know 21 Savage has done, you know, very, very, how can I say, slowed down tempo-esque tracks where his rap is very melodic. Yet Childish achieves that much better here than he does in his other projects. I think it was with Metro Boomin. I forgot the name of the album, but it was a Metro Boomin compilation track or compilation album. Which he brings in a lot of artists and, you know, they just go off. Straight fire comes out. You know what I'm saying? But man, he killed it here. I'm going too deep into the feature. So, back to Childish. Childish production has always been immaculate. Awaken My Love was, I do gotta say, his magnum opus of production when it comes to production, because they just sound so good. I listen back and it still sounds good. It has aged well. I gotta say, it's one of our, it's weird because the class of 2016 had some of the greatest albums to come out. Certainly a very classic year in the 2010s, I gotta say so, because man, a lot of good music came out in 2016. Certainly a highlight, man. Certainly a highlight for sure. And Awaken My Love could be considered a classic if we give it a little more time and if a large enough group of people listen back and see the, you know, the greatness that Childish Gambino did with Awaken My Love. So, yeah, Awaken My Love, I gave it a solid 10 out of 10 when it came out. I mean, even listening back, it's still a 10 out of 10. So, I love this album. Now, back to this new album, 31520. Childish goes into a very different approach when it comes to production. He minimalizes it. Yet, he still manages to put all of the character and all of the, you know, the magic that he managed to have in Awaken My Love, giving it a feel of polar opposites when it comes to Awaken My Love and this album, because Awaken My Love was an orchestra of instruments, you know, comparing it to 31520, because 31520 sounds like he's only using an 808 machine and some live drums. Yes, he does bring in strings, guitars, but they sound more sample-esque more than they sound live, if I'm making myself clear. For sure, standouts have to be 1238 and Time. Solid project. It's very hard to listen the first time. You kind of have to wind yourself back and listen to it again. For sure, it took me like 3 listens for me to understand where Childish wanted to go with things. And for this album, I feel like he just wanted to put out music because he sounded kind of bored. I do gotta say so. And he sounds very in touch. Because, you know, after Awaken My Love, we didn't really hear from any music from Childish until about a year ago with This Is America. And with those singles, I say Summertime Magic and what else? I'm forgetting. He put out some really solid singles. Summertime, yeah. Those 3. There's 3. I know there's 3 for a fact. I'm forgetting the 3rd one. But anyways, Childish is very in tune with what's going on. He speaks of that as well. He speaks about, you know, movements, the business world, and the industry itself. So he's a very in-touch guy. And, you know, he's not leaving anytime soon, even though it seems like he's left. He's working on a lot of things, as he says here. He's working on a lot of shows. You know, he's helping, writing, producing, directing, a lot of stuff. So, very excited to see. And I'm glad I get to hear from Childish. In music form, of course. So, with that being said, I'll give this a solid 8 out of 10. Not as good as Awaken My Love, like I said. This is just music to be music from Childish. This is a little bit more less meaning than Awaken My Love had. But that's about it. Now, right before that, yeah, we only have 2 more albums to cover. And that will do it for this show. I know it's carried on a little longer than usual. I'm sorry, but there's just so much to catch up on. So let's get to it. A Written Testimony by J Electronica. Boy, was I underwhelmed. J Electronica, for me, Exhibit mixtape, by far one of the greatest pieces of hip-hop of all time. Legendary, iconic, classic. And then we didn't hear nothing from him for almost a decade. And he's back, right? He came back and he dropped A Written Testimony with, you know, complete features, like co-featured by Jay-Z. So on every track you're going to hear Jay-Z and J Electronica for sure. Boy, was I underwhelmed. Boy, did J Electronica let me down in so many ways here. let me just tell you, Jay-Z outrapped him. Jay-Z just carried J Electronica. Like, it was kind of, you know, a massacre, I do gotta say. Even though it wasn't intended to be, it was kind of sad to see, you know, somebody with that lyrical potential, lyrical, you know, palette to just be mopped up by Jay-Z, in my opinion. Of course. Man, was it sad. Man, was I let down, because I wanted to hear greatness from J Electronica, and certainly I did not hear that. Very, very let down, like I said. Standouts. I'm sorry, but I don't have any standouts. Production is very weird. J Electronica, I think, fully produced this with a little help of guys here and there. But mostly it was his leeway. It was his, you know, his path. It was his choice when it came to production. And let me tell you, he didn't make the good choices. The production here is very forgettable. I listened to this when it came out. I was very excited. I had my Tims on, of course. And yeah, I was let down. I was sadly let down. Disappointed, actually. Very disappointed in J Electronica. Jay-Z, just killing it, man. I need another album from Jay-Z. He sounds like he wants to keep on rapping. Boy, do I miss Jay-Z. And I for sure want some new music from him, of course. But yeah, J Electronica just, man, he killed it in the wrong way. I think, yeah, I can't hold J Electronica in such a high echelon, such a high place in the pyramid of, you know, greats because of this. This killed him as a lyricist. Goodness, man. There's a Travis Scott feature. Like I said, very forgettable. This is not a good album. I get the meaning. I understand. I fully understand what Jay was going for. Yet he didn't seem to execute it quite as well as Jay-Z was doing for him. It sounded like Jay-Z was helping him make the album good, because otherwise it wouldn't have been good. Or I think Jay-Z should have not been involved at all, because Jay-Z overshadowed him. And maybe I could have, you know, in my head could have made a sense that, oh, J Electronica did make greatness out of this. But it's clear that he didn't. And I think that was a problem when he even involved Jay-Z. Jay-Z's just the top of the top. He's best of the best, greatest that will ever be when it comes to his lyrical, you know, palette. So he did this. He kind of set himself for failure when he, you know, asked for this. And then production-wise, I would have loved to see somebody like Madlib, No ID, even Swiss Beatz or even Timbaland produce this, but just the production's off here. Like, the production did not compliment J Electronica well. Jay-Z did well, but that's Jay-Z. He does things well. Like, it's natural. So, with that being said, it's 10 songs long, 39 minutes long. And it just drags, man. It just sucks to hear, you know. As soon as you think J Electronica might have the upper hand, Jay-Z just comes and mops the floor. Like, kills it in every aspect. So, I'm very let down. Performance from Jay-Z will always be a 10 out of 10 for me. Kills it. I'm sorry, but I have a little bit of a bias here towards Jay-Z. However, when it comes to J Electronica, I had a bias. Now I don't. I'm sorry, but this let me down in so many ways. So with that being said, sadly, I'm going to have to give this a 6 out of 10. I don't see myself going back to listen to this. I don't see myself, you know, going back to this before I go to exhibits, you know. So, yeah, very, very, very sad. Very disappointed, actually, in this release. I know I can't do the same, but I'm looking at this from the most unbiased way possible, and just from somebody going from the outside in and from the inside out. It just doesn't look good. Just doesn't look good for Jay. Now, with that being said, let's move on. We have Party Mobile, Party Next Door. He delivered. For sure he did. Very, very glad he put this out. Kind of had, you know, like I said, After Hours did not have the vibes I was looking for from The Weeknd. Much more poppy, much more clean, much more much more of a polished sound, you know, very, you know, for the masses type. Party Next Door delivered in making something, you know, R&B, something truly for us, something truly chill, something truly, you know, this is the type of music I like to play when in the background, right? This is great, great for that. I'm not trying to listen heavy at the lyrics, but I'm also trying to catch a vibe with the music. And Party Mobile does this well. Standout tracks for me has to be the Savage Anthem. I know it was a single from back then, but man, does it sound good with the rest of this album. He has a Rihanna feature, which I think he baited us with because the Rihanna feature is more of a sample of her vocals used as a feature, which sounds weird, but I understand. Loyal is still one of my favorite tracks here. I know people hate the dancehall vibes, but I like the dancehall. Party Next Door really stands out when he does dancehall. Drake feature, I kind of don't need it as much. However, the Bad Bunny remix killed it. He killed it, and I appreciate that track much more now listening to the album. Now, overall, I'm a little underwhelmed because I thought there was going to be more experimental, more new, something refreshed, something game-changing. You know, The Weeknd took a very, very long break from music. Last album being Party Next Door Part 3 back in 2016. And man, I feel like he had enough time to do something new, something game-changing, yet he didn't. It was back to formula, back to base one. This sounds like everything I've heard from him before, which is not bad after 4 years, but let me tell you, it's been 4 years, and you know, you expect something great out of Party Next Door, and you get same old, right? So, as a fan, I'm glad he even put out music. As, you know, somebody who critiques music, I do gotta say I'm very underwhelmed when it comes to the quality, when it comes to the, you know, what the music came out. A lot of singles from here, like I said, did come out the year prior. And they make up a very, like, slim yet significant percentage of the album. And to me, it doesn't sit right. It really doesn't. So, that being said, my score overall has to be a solid 7 out of 10. I like this a lot. I do gotta say, I'm listening to this more than I'm listening to any other album. However, from a, you know, critical standpoint, yeah, it's not as good as I thought it was gonna be when it came out, right? So, man, that was a lot of music. Let's just jump into the sleeper, man, so we can head out. Yves Tumor put out Heaven to a Tortured Mind. And this, I listened to it about 3 days ago, right? Trying to find something, you know, something out there that came out and, you know, it's making waves. I saw this and I listened to this. I'm like, huh, let me read the synopsis of the album. The earliest release of Yves Tumor's, the producer born Sean Bowie in Florida, raised in Tennessee and based in Turin, arrived from a land beyond genre. They intermingled ambient synths and disembodied Kylie samples with free jazz, soul, and the church of experimental club beats. So, this kind of encompasses what the album sounds like. Like I said, it's very R&B-ish, soul, yet alternative, and you know, uses drums well, and vocals are very synth-like, very robotic, very Miami Vice-esque. And it all sounds beautiful and dark at the same time, which, I gotta say, has done it quite well. 12 songs long, 36 minutes. Like I said, short, hard-hitting album, and it's an experience. It's for sure an adventure, a musical adventure. And so far, I'm loving it. This has definitely gone under the radar, in my opinion. So, for sure, give it a listen. If I were to give it a score, I'd give it an 8.5 out of 10. Very, very good music from Yves Tumor. First stuff I've listened from them, but they date back to 2018, 16. And yeah, earliest sounds from them have been from 2016. So, yeah, listen to this. For sure, Yife's Tumor, like I said. Heaven for a Tortured Mind. Heaven to a Tortured Mind. Go check that out. And that about does it for our show. I've been your host, the one and only Mon Dragon. I know today's show kind of carried a little longer. I'm going to try to limit each show to like 20 to 30 minutes. Even shorter if I can. But, you know, today's dragged on a little longer than usual. Sorry about that. Or if you like it, well, there you have it. Like I said, I've been your host, Mon Dragon. You've listened to the Frequency Friday show. And make sure to listen next week for much more great content. Peace.